If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 3 and notice the very first phrase on verse 10. If you could look at verse 10, I want to continue this message from last week. Can you say with me, please, the first phrase to the comma? You ready? Let's say it together. That I may know Him. The Apostle Paul, this is his heart cry. This is his passion. That I may know Christ. That I may know Him. Now, you understand, Paul had met Christ years before this on the road to Damascus. But Paul's cry of his heart, we're talking years after he was saved, was he said that I may know Him. Because in your handout it says there's a big difference between meeting somebody and knowing somebody. There's a big difference between you meeting Dan Proctor and really knowing Dan Proctor. And there's a difference between meeting Christ and trusting Him as your Savior and getting saved and really having an ongoing fellowship and a daily walk, you know, with Him. And in your handout, it asks two questions. It says, number one, in your handout, do you have a surface relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, you pray over your food, you say a quick prayer in the morning on the way to the work. You really don't think about Him much during the day. Maybe at night before you go to bed when you lay your head on your pillow, you think a little bit about Him again. But really, there's not that personal. And that's the next question there. It says, or do you have an ongoing, personal, close, one-on-one communion with Jesus Christ? That daily walk. You know, listen, Christian, when you have that daily walk with Christ, where you're knowing Him better and He's knowing you, and oh man, when you have that daily walk with Jesus Christ, there's just a peace. There's like an anchor in your heart and soul. And no matter what life throws its way at you, you know, during the day, it's like there's this anchor because you know Christ is with you. You know He's walking with you. You know He's there. And you've got that ongoing communion. And when trials come during the day, you just immediately take them to Him. If somebody irritates you or somebody maybe does something to hurt you, you just immediately take it to Him, knowing He's right there with you. And so, when you know, there's a big difference between meeting Christ as your Savior and what Paul said, that I may know Him. Having that ongoing, personal, daily, intimate relationship and walk with Him. And that's what we need. When you have that daily walk with Christ, your whole life takes on new meaning, and mundane things, you know, just ordinary events take on new meaning when you have that daily walk with Christ. Now here in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, Paul is going to explain to us how to know Christ, to really know Him, to have that daily, ongoing, personal walk with Him. And we said last week, it's in your handout, and it's just kind of a review. First of all, it will take an understanding of the value of suffering. It'll take an understanding of the value of suffering if we're going to know Christ. You see, when suffering comes into our life, it's easy to get bitter, to get mad at God. It's easy when suffering comes to let it get you all out of shape and it drive you away from Christ instead of driving you to Christ. Well, we got to understand, look at the verse, look at verse 10. He says, that I may know Him, now notice this, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His what? Sufferings. Some of the sweetest fellowship you can ever have with Christ is in suffering, times of suffering. And when we understand the value of suffering, what it can do, and by the way, if you're going through some hard times this morning, maybe you weren't here last week, I encourage you, go online to crbaptist.com. Listen to last Sunday morning's message about the value of suffering because it'll encourage your heart. You see, suffering can be of absolute incredible value in our life if we respond to it correctly. And it can actually lead us into a deeper knowledge and an understanding of Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. But number two, and I'm going to move right on, and this is kind of some new ground here. If we're going to know Christ, it will take a dissatisfaction with your spiritual attainment. A dissatisfaction with your spiritual attainment. Now, I'm going to use an illustration here in a moment. And it has to do with rock climbing. And I want to just right off give you a disclaimer. I'm not a rock climber, all right? I'm not interested in doing it because I don't like heights, okay? I can't stand heights. They make me dizzy, I get sick, I don't like it. And, you know, is there anybody in here who's a rock climber? Anybody in here who climbs rocks? Anybody? Okay. I had one nut. I mean, one person in the early service that was a rock climber. Now, I'm going to bring up a picture here of a rock climber. Now, I'm going to just tell you right off the bat, that guy's crazy. Okay, there's something nutty about that. I mean, look at down here. I mean, look how high up this guy is. I mean, this guy's a nut. Now, let me tell you, look at the next one. Look at these people. Hi, Mom. You know, I was like, and then, you know, you move on here and you got a lady climbing a rock here. I don't get this, all right? But here's the thing. I do know this. If you want to be a proficient rock climber, you cannot be satisfied with where you're at. Because if you're satisfied with where you're at, then you're never going to go higher up the mountain. I had a bunch of people say ladder in the early service. I'm like, there ain't no ladders when you're rock climbing. It was really weird. A bunch of people said it. I said, you'll never go higher up the ladder. But nobody said it. You guys are smart, aren't you? I tell you. You guys are right there, I tell you. But yeah, I mean, if you're satisfied with where you are, you're never going to go higher up the mountain. Now, picture your Christian life kind of as a mountain. We ought to be climbing. We ought to be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ until the day that we're with Him. You know, the Bible says at the rapture, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, until that day when we're with the Lord, you know, that's the kind of the top of the mountain. When Christ comes back and so shall we ever be with the Lord, that's top of the mountain. Well, until you're at the top, you ought to be growing. You ought to be moving forward and growing in your relationship with Christ. See, but just like the rock climber, if you're satisfied with where you are right now in your relationship with Christ, well, you're never going to grow to know Christ in a deeper way. I mean, you know, you take a rock climber and this rock climber goes and climbs a little way up the mountain, can't go any further. So the next day, you know, she comes back, goes a little bit further. Next day comes back a little bit further. Well, when she gets to the top of the mountain, then what? You know, you're at the top. I mean, I guess you'd go find a bigger mountain. But, I mean, when you get to the top, you're at the top. Well, here's the thing. This can happen in the Christian life, too, to where we feel like we've kind of reached the top and there's nowhere else to go. In your handout, it says, when we feel as if we've reached the spiritual pinnacle, when we think we've reached the spiritual pinnacle of Christian growth, rest assured we will never know Christ in a more deep and intimate way. I mean, when we get a haughty spirit and we feel like we've arrived, you know. And by the way, you read this thing, verses 12 and 13, Paul did not think he had arrived. The apostle Paul, who had some understanding into spiritual truth that was phenomenal, he did not think he had arrived. Look at it, verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or, you know, completely mature. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is the picture of a person who isn't satisfied with where he is. Paul did not feel like he had arrived and that he had no room for spiritual growth in his life. Verse 12 there, it can get kind of wordy, verse 12, but what he's basically saying there is, look, I know God has a mission and a purpose for which He saved me. And I want desperately to fulfill the mission and the purpose for which I've been saved. And if you look at verse 12, right about in the middle, he says, but I follow after. Now that word follow after means to actively pursue. And when he says about apprehending, that means to take eagerly. In other words, Paul was zealous. He was fervent about growing in his relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we can get a little haughty, a little arrogant, and think we've arrived. And that, you know, as I said in the early service, I've actually had people tell me through the years that, you know, the reason why they don't come to church more, and I have had people tell me this, the reason why they don't come to church more is, quote, I already know all that stuff you're talking about. I already know all that. Well, I mean, think about that. They've arrived to the point to where they know it all. And you know, everything you say, I already know it all. That's what they're telling me. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. Even if that were true, and they knew more than me. I mean, they knew more, and there's nothing I could add to them. You know, over and over, Paul and Peter talk about putting the saints in remembrance. Let me tell you something. You know, it's not just a matter of knowing. It's also a matter of people reminding us of what we know so that we'll do it. Amen. You know, all of us need some reminding. Amen? We need somebody to remind us of stuff maybe that we do know so that we will do it. And you know, we get that haughty spirit. Here's the thing. You'll never take that next step of spiritual growth in your life until you become dissatisfied with where you are right now. I tell you, it's easy to get in a spiritual rut. It's easy to get in a spiritual rut to where we're going through the motions, you know, but we're not growing. We're going through the spiritual motions, but we're not growing spiritually. There's no vibrancy. There's no movement up that mountain. Now, I got to tell you, I've been in spiritual ruts many times. Many times. To where you get where you're going through the motions, but you're really not growing. Can I just share something with you, though? Without exception, the only way that I ever get out of the spiritual rut when I'm in it, the only way I get out of it is when I get sick and tired of myself and decide I'm going to start growing again. I just got to get sick and tired of myself. Maybe it's a sin in your life that's hindering your fellowship with Christ, or maybe it's you know, just apathy or complacency. There just comes a point where you got to get sick and tired of yourself and say, you know what, I'm tired of the state I'm in. I'm tired of not growing. I'm tired of the apathy. I'm tired of not ever moving forward. And I'm going to get out of this rut, and I'm going to begin growing again in my relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're not growing and we're not moving up that mountain, so to speak, you know what? I cannot blame my wife. I cannot blame my son. I cannot blame you. And you know what? You can't blame me. If we're in a spiritual rut, we have to take some personal responsibility and say, you know what? I'm in the rut because I've chosen to be in the rut. And you know what? I got to get out of the rut. And when we feel like, you know, that, well, you know, man, I've arrived and I don't really need to grow anymore. I'm fine where I'm at. Well, guaranteed, we'll never grow. We'll stop growing. We'll get locked into this place and we'll never go any further. And in your handout is a verse there at the bottom. It says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit?" He thinks he knows it all. Nobody can tell him anything. He knows it all. He says, "There is more hope of a fool than of him." You see, we've got to get to the place where we're dissatisfied where we're at so that we will begin growing again. That's what Paul said. Now look at the next thing. Number three in your handout, if you turn your handout over. It's going to take forgetting the past. Okay? If I'm going to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ, my daily walk with Him, I got to forget the past. Now, I got a picture here of a rock climber that I kind of thought was funny. Now again, look how high up they are. I mean, look at the ground here. And I don't know about you, but as I look at that picture, to me, and I can't say this for sure, but the way I look at it, this guy here knows what he's doing. This person here is wondering how in the world they got talked into doing this. Now that would be me right there, okay? That would be me. How did I let Tony Foster talk me into this? But, you know, and here's the guy that knows what he's doing, you know. And this guy here, you can see he's pointing up to the goal. You know, hey, look, it's right up here. Don't give up. And this person is like, look, you're going to have to carry me off this mountain because I'm not going up anymore. And that'd be me. I don't like heights, as I told you earlier. When I'm on the roof of my house, I feel like I'm on the Empire State Building. And I'm walking gingerly like this on the roof. I'm so afraid. It just makes me dizzy. I don't like it at all, you know. How many of you ever heard of the Arch in St. Louis? You ever seen that big arch? Well, I'm from that area. Let me tell you, that's a big, big arch. And they say I went up in it as a kid. I was too little. I don't really remember much of it at all. My parents took me up in it. They sedated me, I guess, and took me. I don't know. But anyway, I went up in the arch, And I went there with my kids about 4 or 5 years ago. And of course, we're down at the bottom of the arch, and man, we're looking up. Man, ooh, my head is swimming, you know. And they're like, "Daddy, we gonna go up?" "Nope, I can see it fine from right here." "Let's go, kids," you know. But I don't like heights. And you know, I guarantee you, though, this guy right here, you know what he's telling this person right here? He's saying, "Don't look down." Okay, do not. He's saying, "Look up ahead. Look this way. Don't look down. Don't look back where you came from. Look up ahead." We will never know Christ in a greater way until we make a conscious choice to forget the things which are behind. I want you to look at verse 13. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And what's the next word? Forgetting, say it with me, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he says, "I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before." In your handout, it says you cannot know someone in the present if your heart is dwelling in the past. You know, I tell you, married couples struggle with this. And I'll tell you, married life can be tough. And I'm not up here trying to tell you that it's always easy and all that. It's not. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. If you have a marital issue or problems, and you can certainly call our church and get help and so forth, because there's nothing to be embarrassed of. Everybody struggles at time to time in their marriage. But I'll tell you something that I found is one of the leading problems that leads to sometimes marriages actually dissolving, is that one or both people just can't get past the past. Did you hear that? Yeah. They can't get past the past. And they cannot move on. Living in the past will kill your future. Living in the past will make your present miserable. And not only is that true in marriage or any other relationship, it's true in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We must, Paul said, forget those things which are behind, because the Apostle Paul was a man who had experienced some painful, hurtful, traumatic things in his past. Before he was saved and after he was saved, he went through some tough things. And in fact, he talks about in 1 Timothy 1 about how he was a blasphemer, how he was injurious, which means he was a violent and abusive man. And he said, "Those things I did ignorantly in unbelief." How many of you can look at things in your past and say, "I did it ignorantly in unbelief," huh? Man, I know I can. Man, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And if I could go back and do it over, I would. It was done ignorantly. You know, it was just dumb. It was stupid. It was ignorant. But then he turns around. He says, "But I'm forgetting those things which are behind." Now, forgetting doesn't mean that you fail to remember. Man, don't you wish there was... Don't you wish that your mind was like a computer where you could scroll and bring up a bunch of stuff and scroll down through the list of all the things in your brain? And don't you wish you could just delete certain things from your mind? Man, I do. There's some painful memories you wish you could just hit a delete button like on the computer and gone. But we can't. Forgetting doesn't mean that you fail to remember. You're a human being. And you can't fail to remember. It's not that you fail to remember. When he says forgetting, what does he mean? Biblically, let me explain to you the word forget. I think it's in your handout there. Biblically, the word forget means that we're no longer influenced or affected by those things. Now, I want you to think about that. We are no longer influenced or affected by those things. Can I give you an illustration? God says this in several times. He says, "And your sins will I remember no more." Now, does that mean that God has a bad memory? Yes or no? Does that mean he's had a memory lapse? No. What does it mean? You know what God means when he says, "I will remember your sins no more"? What that means is God is saying, "I will never hold those sins against you again." Isn't it a glorious thing to know you're forgiven and God will never, never use your sins against you again? Amen. When God says, "I'll remember your sins no more," what he means is that your sins will have no effect on your standing with God or his attitude towards you ever again. Those sins will not affect God's attitude toward you. That's what he means. That's the idea of the word forget. You see, in your handout it says we cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. That's the idea. We can change the meaning of the past. You can't change the past. You can't go back and undo it, but you can change the meaning. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about it. Paul was a blasphemer. Paul was a violent, abusive man. But when he trusted Christ as his Savior, he began to grow as a believer. After he got saved, the events from Paul's past didn't change, but his understanding of those events changed, and he allowed the past to actually serve as an inspiration to him to move forward and to have great zeal for Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are shackled by regrets and by events of the past. I know many of you right now, God is speaking to your heart because you've been running the Christian race looking backwards. And you can't get past this and you can't get past that, and I messed up there and I just don't know if God can forgive me, or maybe somebody keeps bringing up your past and you're running the race looking back. Let me tell you something right now. I don't claim to be a track star either, but I do know this. You don't run a race looking behind you. Because you start looking over your shoulder. I know we coach them in baseball that when you're stealing a base and you take off from first base to second, you don't turn around and look at where the ball is. You keep your eyes on second base and you go in there with all your fervency and zeal. You go running in and you don't go looking around. Why? Because you can stumble, fall, and at the very least it'll slow you down. You cannot run the race looking backwards. You can't do it. I'm telling you, folks. It's no wonder people stumble and fall and they have problems maintaining spiritual consistency in their Christian life because they can't get past the past. Now, let me just say this to you. You can live in the past. That's your choice. You can wallow in it and you can dig up bad memories and bad events from the past and dwell on them. You can do that if you want to, but you need to understand two things about it. Number one in your handout, okay? First of all, it will do nothing to change the past. Now, you can wake up in the morning thinking about past. You can go to bed thinking about it. You can wallow in it. You can dwell on it. You can meditate on it. You can bring it up. You can talk about it. You can do all those things. But can I just tell you one thing, bottom line? It'll do nothing to change the past. And it is what it is. It is what it is. Can't change it. Well, there's some things I wish I'd go back and change. How about you? But I'm not going to sit around thinking about it because I can't change it. I'm not kidding you. This is one area where God really has given me grace, you know, is that I know pastors who struggle with this. And man, you know, a church member hurts their feelings, leaves the church or does something or stabs them in the back. And man, they just can't get over it and they constantly think about it and bring it up and all this. Denise is amazed all the time, aren't you, honey? About how she'll bring up something, you know, that happened 5 years ago. Maybe somebody that just really did something bad to me. And she'll bring it up, start talking about it, and I'll act like I don't remember. And she'll say, and the truth is, she'll start talking about it, and I'll kind of start remembering it. But I didn't remember it until she brought it up. The Lord has just allowed me, and I praise the Lord for it, to be able to move forward. Because I mean, I'm like everybody else in here. There's been some real hurts and scars all the way back to childhood in my life. But man, I just don't think about that stuff because it's fruitless to sit around thinking about it. And it's just there's just no good in it. I sit there, you know, and I can, you know, think of things in my childhood, teenage years, you know, and so forth, that were bad. I can try to just get my mind to recall, you know, spats that we've had or things Denise has said that hurt. Man, what in the world good is it? Listen, thinking on the past doesn't change it, folks. It is what it is. And that's why Paul said forgetting. Doesn't mean you can't remember it. Just means you're not going to let it influence and affect you anymore. I'm not going to let that past influence me and affect me. I'm not going to do it. Move on. What's the name of the message this morning? Come on, say it with me. What's the name of the message? Look at the title. What is it? Man, can I hear an amen? Amen. Forget the past and move on. You cannot know Christ in your hand out there. It says the second thing is if you live in the past, it'll hinder you in knowing Christ in the present. How are you going to know Christ in a deeper way in the present if you're constantly dwelling on the past? You'll be miserable. You're going to be a miserable person. You've got to put it behind you. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Look to the future. Look to the future. Quit dwelling in the past. And then the last thing here is this. If we're going to know Christ, it's going to take a determination to press forward. Move forward. Press forward is the word that Paul uses here. Man, Paul wanted to know Christ. He had an intense passion to know Christ. Look at verse 10 again. Say it with me. What's the first phrase? That I may know Him. That was his passion. But you know what? Here's the deal. It didn't end with just a passion and a desire. Paul put some feet to his desires. Look at verse 12, the middle of the verse. He says, but I follow after. Notice how he put some feet to his desires. Verse 13. Look at the end of verse 13. Reaching forth. Look at verse 14. I press. You see, Paul had a desire to know Christ, but he put some feet to those desires. Now back to the rock climber. Okay, now look. You don't climb a mountain by listening to lectures about rock climbing, do you? You don't climb a mountain by reading books about it or watching DVDs about rock climbing. How do you climb a mountain? You strap on the gear, right? You're like this fella right here. You strap on the gear and do it. Right? Or you're like this guy right here. He's getting an early start. See, look at that. You strap on the gear, man, and do it. Now, I understand you got to learn and grow and all that, but there comes a time where you got to quit talking about it and strap on the gear and do it. How does that apply to our life? Well, there comes a point where you and I got to accept some responsibility for our spiritual walk with Christ. We got to possess some spiritual fortitude to make some changes and begin to really grow in our relationship with Christ. Now, in your handout, it says we're all at different points in the spiritual growth process. You're at a different point. We're all at a different point in our growth process. But we have to grow where we're at. See, I don't expect you to be where I'm at. And that's the biggest mistake people make in church and get all out of sorts and mad. Because you expect everybody else to be where you are. And they're not. And somebody come up to you and say something stupid or hurtful or offensive, and you get all bent out of shape. Well, remember, they're at a different point of growth than you are. Everyone's at a different point. You know what? We need to be patient with each other. Amen, church? Amen. And we need to understand we're all at a different point. But here's the thing. Wherever you are at, man, grow where you're at. In verse 13, look at it. Look at the end of that verse. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, that phrase, reaching forth, is a great phrase. If you look it up, it means to stretch oneself. You know, there needs to be some spiritual stretching in our life if we're going to grow. In other words, some of you in here, maybe you've been coming to Sunday morning for years. Well, it's time to maybe stretch a little. It's time to say, you know, maybe I ought to get in a life group on Sunday morning. Instead of going 1 hour, go 2 hours. Maybe it's, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to start going back Sunday night to double my growth and hear Pastor Dan on Sunday night too. Maybe it's middle of the week, Wednesday night Bible study. I need to start going to Wednesday night Bible study so that I can grow there in the middle of the week. Maybe it's I need to get involved serving the Lord. You've been sitting, but I need to serve. Maybe it's getting in a Bible Institute class. Maybe you've been coming to church here for a long time, but it's time to step it up. It's time to take that next step. It's time to stretch. Maybe become a member and go to the membership meeting next Sunday night that we're having. But what I'm saying is that we need to be stretching. In fact, if you look at that verse 14 again, I press toward the mark. Now, when he says I press, that carries the idea of intense endeavor. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? You've been keeping up with that, the Olympics? Listen, them guys out there that are in the Olympics, Listen, that they are not out there casually trying to win the race, are they? They are, they have trained, they have worked, they have sweated, they have toiled, they've trained, they've been coached, and now they are out there and they are intensely endeavoring to win that race. And that's that word, I press. It means intense endeavor. And then he says, I press toward the mark. That word mark just means goal. Paul had some spiritual goals, and he was reaching and stretching for those goals through the power of Christ. Do you have any spiritual goals in your life? I'm just asking. Don't answer out loud. But do you have any spiritual goals? Where were you this time last year? Where are you now? And do you have any spiritual goals? Some of you, maybe a good goal would be to get in a life group. Maybe it would be to go through teacher training, to one day teach a life group. Maybe a good goal would be I'm going to read a chapter of God's Word each day. Maybe a good goal for you would just be I'm going to read a verse each day. You know, maybe a good spiritual goal to stretch yourself would be I'm going to take one Bible Institute class this semester just to grow. You know, or I'm going to start coming to Wednesday night Bible study. But we set some spiritual goals and we stretch ourselves. That's the idea here. See, we're pressing forward. And the ultimate prize, he said, look at verse 14. I press toward the mark. Here's the final goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The ultimate prize was going to be when Paul would receive the high calling, or that literally means an upward heavenly invitation into the very presence of Jesus Christ. And until that day, my friend, until that day when he got that high calling, that upward heavenly invitation into the presence of Christ, Paul wanted to continue to know Christ in a deeper way. And here's the idea. Here's the idea. In your handout. I think it's in your handout. Yeah. Paul wanted to live his life in a way that when he was ushered into the very presence of Christ, it would simply be the next natural step in their growing relationship. Now, before you put up your notes, look here at me. Here we are, we get saved. We're kind of right here, we're on the foundation of Christ, we get saved. Then we begin to grow like this, okay? Paul was saying, I want to keep growing in my knowledge of Christ until, boom, I get that high calling at the rapture, and I'm in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Paul said, when the rapture occurs and I'm in His presence, I want that to be just the next natural step in my growth process. Now, the problem is, many times, here's what we do. We're growing, but we plateau. Or we're growing, and we're doing this. Okay? We've all been there, all done that, okay? But the idea is that we set those spiritual goals, we continue to stretch ourselves, that we may know Christ in a deeper way. And the way you're going to know Him is through His Word, through prayer, and we're growing. I'm continuing to climb. I'm not getting up there, all right? But I'm continuing to climb. Until finally, Christ comes, and I'm in His very presence. And it's just kind of the next logical step in my growth, in my knowledge of Him. That I may know Him. That needs to be our passion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.